Hello, everyone. We're going to get started today. I'm going to make a few announcements, and then we are going to answer questions. We're doing things a little bit different this week, where I had my team go through and pull a lot of the questions that you guys are asking over and over again and ask coaches and in the Facebook group to kind of get us started for the day. And there's about five of them that we keep seeing that are very common themes. I'm going to answer those today. And then after that, if there are any more questions inside the chat, excuse me, I'll get to those too. But I think it'll be really good this week if we try out pulling what we just keep seeing said over and over and over again in about 1,000 different ways between all the places. I'd like to start these Q&As to really be focused on things that the majority of you are, you know, struggling with and stuff. So let's do announcements first while everybody's getting in here, and then we'll move straight into the questions. Number one is this Saturday at 10 a.m., which let's see what the date is January 16th. I'm doing a very special workshop for you guys. It is a topic that almost anyone can benefit from. So the topic is, I've regained weight, now what do I do? So 2020 was tough for a lot of people. Like, it just, as good as our program is, as good as our stuff is, you know, we had lots of people lose weight and stuff, but some people really struggled through 2020, totally out of their routines. Like, every obstacle for weight loss that could possibly be put in your path, 2020 offered it up on a silver platter. And so a lot of people that are right now trying to figure out, how do I lose weight that I regain? So some of you may have gained 10 pounds. Some of you may have gained half your weight back. Some of you started with me in September because you had lost weight somewhere else, gained the weight back, and you're still trying to get into the groove. The other part that this workshop is going to help is for people who continually sabotage and struggle with the same 5 to 10 pounds. So I decided to build a workshop around this for all of you because I really want to help people with this idea of the regain and how do you get past it and how do you get back on track? Like, that is what this class is all about. A lot of times, like, one of the questions today is about how do you get back on track? And the easy answer is you just start. The only thing between you and picking up your planner and starting is going to be every sentence you have in your head about how hard it is, all the excuses you're using, and a whole host of other shitty thoughts that you're using as a reason and a weapon to stay stuck. There is literally no trick to it. None. The best trick is to really identify there's literally nothing stopping me other than my fear of how hard it might be. So I need to talk to myself about how it won't be as hard as I think. There's just so many reasons. So we're going to do a full-on workshop on Saturday about this. I anticipate the workshop taking about 90 minutes. So if you are one of those people who are like, I want to carve out the time, I think it'll take about 90 minutes because what I would like to do is teach the concept and then make sure that we have some time for some questions and stuff. There is a workbook included. There is a presentation I'll be doing. So if you go to pmptribe.com right now, there is a banner at the top of the homepage. It will link you to everything that you need. So if you've been struggling with the same 5 to 10 pounds, if you have regained weight and you're just like, girl, I'm so ashamed. If you're like identifying as someone who's ashamed, if you are identifying with someone who's finding it hard to start back, all of those things, I'm going to clear all of it up for you. The nice thing about this workshop is I also did some research on the most common reasons why we end up regaining our weight. Even as simple as I teach weight loss, what ends up happening is that if you don't uncover lots of your old shitties along the way in weight loss, something will always happen in life. Your brain will offer up the idea that eating is a solution. And if you're not on top of it, eating becomes a solution until you catch yourself with some weight gain been like, oh, there's one more area where I just need to double down and focus on and solve. And we're going to do all of that. So it's going to be an amazing workshop. I can't wait to see all of you there. It is one of the things that I love doing. I love teaching. Like that is, if I had to pick one thing that I do inside of, you know, in here, it is always going to be coming live to you guys and teaching. I just find that to be the way that I best change lives. So we're going to be doing that. Here's the other things. The book study, The Big Leap, is still going on. So if you want to read The Big Leap, it's all about upper limit problems. Some of the information that I'm teaching this Saturday literally was inspired by the book. An upper limit problem just means that at some point you reach a capacity of where it's like you're having success, things are going well, something along those lines. And there's an inner story inside you that's like, things are not supposed to be this good. We need to figure out a way to feel really bad. We need to figure out a way to doubt, to fear, to worry, to bring up anxiety, because we're used to that state. And sometimes what happens is when you collect a lot of success, when you are like your weight loss is on a roll, or and I watch this happen with you guys all the time. You come into No BS sometimes pretty broken. Like you feel like the world's out against you. Your relationships are not as good as you want them. You've battled your weight all your life. And then what ends up happening is weight loss becomes easier because you use our common sense techniques. You start doing a lot of that, like listening to like, oh my gosh, what do you mean? It's just the way that I think about it. Your perspective starts shifting on the people around you in your life. So your relationships just start getting a little better. A lot of the things that you always thought about your life are challenged. If you always thought your life was going to be hard and nobody supported you and that you'd always be overweight, and then suddenly after doing some work, your life becomes, weight loss is easier than I thought it was. People actually do support me. And my life, you start looking at it through a new lens where you kind of like it. It runs head up against your old belief system. When that happens, if your brain is used to creating drama, it will start thinking, yeah, well, everything's good, except, and it'll find a new place to hone in on, or it'll think, well, you know, everything's great and we should be grateful, but like your brain will be on the hunt to kind of keep your emotional temperature down. So The Big Leap is all about that. But if you want to join it, you can go to the book study. If you go to pnptribe.com, you click on the community tab. One of the subgroups is called Book Club. You can join. The book is there. They're discussing it, doing all the things. And Coach Yesenia is running that. We also have the Mindful Drinking Weight Loss Calls going on every single Wednesday at 5 p.m. I think we are in week two now. Yes, we are in week two, 5 p.m. Central Time. Guys, even if you are not working on alcohol, the strategies and the things that she's teaching in there around the urge to drink and stuff also go with the urge to binge, also go with the urge to overeat. It is the same stuff, just a different problem. So if you've not been going or you didn't join their subgroup because you're like, well, I don't drink or I'm not a drinker, I promise you, if you want, you could listen to those calls and you can do the work and it will help you. If maybe you don't like to wind down with wine every night, but you might like to wind down with a Krispy Kreme, hot and fresh. Whatever your drink of choice, whether it's cream pie filling to a glass of Chardonnay, it will be helpful. And then next month, I just want to make sure you guys know, we'll be studying as a group self-love. So we are going to re-release the self-love course, brand new videos and a workbook. It is a lot of the material that we used from our camp that we did in, I believe it was October when we did the self-love camp. We're taking some of the videos that I did and we're rebuffing the workbook, and we are going to do self-love with all of our live coaching calls. Everything is going to be themed around love next month, including in the book study. They're going to do The Body is Not an Apology. We're going to release a brand new version of the self-love course, and you'll see a lot of our calls are all centered around the concept of loving yourself. And then don't forget camp registration, May 14th through the 16th. It will start next month. We are for sure on for virtual. The verdict is out if we will have anybody in person. I'm not counting on it, but our hotel has said that if something happens dramatic in the world where we can have people in the room, socially distance and whatnot, we can change our mind on a dime if we need to. So just know that if you've been hanging on for the idea of coming here in person and doing it, we are at, like, Corinne thinks 75% no, 25% yes. But who knows what's going to happen? Here's what I learned about 2020. Don't sit there and try to think that you know what the fuck's going to happen in the future. Don't none of us know. So I'm just like, I'm open to all of it and willing to pivot on a moment's notice. So there you go. And our next big No BS opening is going to be March 31st, the one where there's a challenge and all the fun things. So if you've got friends who may want to join No BS in March, you need to make sure that they go to nobsfreecourse.com and sign up for the free course. And then they will be on the mailing list for when we have our next opening. With that, I want to talk about the very first thing in our No BS Woman's Creed. If you're wondering, like, what's the creed? Most of you, when you joined the Facebook group, read the creed in the announcements. So if you go to our announcements, you will see the creed. If you go to the units, you will see the creed. This is what we live and breathe. And this week, I want to go, I'm going to start our calls now with going over one aspect of our creed before we get to questions. The first one we're talking about this week is, I will make my weight loss a priority because I'm ready to lose weight for good. A lot of you still need to make your weight loss a priority. Now, when I say make it your priority, it doesn't mean that you have to, like, put everybody to the side. It doesn't mean that you have to be selfish. It doesn't mean any of that. I want you to think about this. When you're going to prioritize your weight loss, if you think about it in a way where somebody else will be harmed in order for you to do you, that doesn't feel good. That doesn't feel right. But so many of us try to adopt this mentality that I have to be selfish and I have to put myself first and I have to do all these other things. That is not what happens when you prioritize your weight loss. Prioritizing your weight loss is really simple. You find your bullshit excuses for, like, let's say that making a plan every day is your next 30-day goal. Like, I'm going to make a plan come hell or high water. That means in order for you to prioritize your weight loss, you've got to find 3 minutes a day that you are willing to sit and you are willing to write your plan, even when you don't feel like it, even when you want to think there's not enough time, even when you think it won't work, even when you fucked up the day before, even when you swear to God you don't know what you're doing. All of those things are the things that get in the way of making a plan. So prioritizing your weight loss is about looking at the few things that you need to do and figuring out the way that I prioritize my weight loss is, number one, I make it the easiest and simplest thing in the world for me to do, which means I don't tell myself lies like somebody else is going to be harmed by what food goes into my mouth. Even if somebody says, oh my God, you never want to eat with me anymore because you ain't hungry. Prioritizing your weight loss means you don't think that they're harmed because you're not eating with them. Prioritizing your weight loss means, of course, they're upset. But I need to teach them that I love them and that it's okay if we're not eating the same thing. And I need to have patience for them to get used to the new normal. We could be thinking that. That's prioritizing weight loss. It also means not sitting there and, like, guys, for some of you, you need to fucking get up 5 minutes earlier And you need to quit telling yourself that that extra 5 minutes of laying in your bed, dreading your day, is a good use of your damn time. It's not. I was sitting there thinking about this morning. My alarm goes off. And a lot of times what I like to do when the alarm goes off first thing, I like to lay in the bed. I change positions, but I like to lay in the bed and I like to visualize myself going through my morning routine and feeling very like focused, accomplished, and all the things. It gets my brain warmed up. It gets me hyped up to get my day started. So many of you wake up each morning and you don't get out of bed 5 minutes early, but you will sit there and you'll lull yourself back to sleep, dreading everything you have to do for the day. That's not prioritizing your weight loss. That's wasting your time, and you're blowing your emotional wad first thing in the morning. So I want you guys to be thinking, like, number one, what is the easiest way for me to get weight loss done? When I'm prioritizing, I pick the easy shit first. Like, that is what I get done this week. The second thing I do when I prioritize my weight loss, I find all the bullshit places I'm spending my time, pretending I don't have time to lose weight. I want to tell all of you, if you come in here and you talk on Facebook about not having time to make plans, and you're in Facebook saying, I don't have time to watch videos or listen to the things, you're in Facebook. You do have fucking time. That 5 minutes that you're going to go down the whole of the news feed reading about what somebody else is doing for their weight loss is 5 minutes that you're not applying yourself in your planner. It's 5 minutes that you are not, I'm just going to go to PMP, whatever the first video replay is, play. If you don't want to use the video replays, guess what? Prioritize the Private Member Podcast. We have to really look at our lives through the lens of, if I want my goals, where are the small moments that I'm lying to myself about my time? I do this with myself all the time. When I am not getting some things done in my life that I really want, the first thing I do is I do an honest review of my day. If I've been on social media, and y'all, it's my job to be on social media, but it doesn't help me to be on social media if I haven't made my food plan yet. It doesn't help me to be on social media if I'm behind on some self-development. So prioritizing your weight loss is just really two things. It's fucking being honest with yourself, and it's finding the easiest things to do first. Make it easy on yourself. All right, so that's the creed. All right, let's go to the questions. Let's see. Okay, I've already lost the questions. Somebody needs to tag me in them. I think this was from last week. Hang on 1 second, guys. I got to find the questions. Somebody put them somewhere in the channel, and I don't know where they put them. Let's see. Okay, I found them. All right. I struggle with the idea of being worthy, and I would like some practical steps to acquire this feeling or idea. I have an old shitty of I'm not good enough, and struggle reworking a perfectionistic attitude. I've made a lot of progress with awareness, but I fall short with the simple belief that I am worthy or simply good enough. I still tend to search for validation from others. Any suggestions beyond journaling and telling myself I'm worthy? So here's what the struggle is. When you don't believe you're good enough, you need to be writing about all the reasons why you are. Fundamentally, you have to make an agreement with yourself of like, okay, I'm not good enough is not true. It just feels true. And it feels true because I've told myself these things over the course of my life. You do not need to find all of them. Just find a few reasons. And every day it might be different things. The way you flip the narrative on I'm not good enough, because that's what I've done, is you literally have to go through and you write daily why you are good enough. Like you literally, like, it's not just a matter of like telling your, just saying I'm worthy is never going to fix it. You know why? Because you haven't figured out why you're worthy. Just saying the words is one thing, but challenging your brain to figure out reasons why you're good enough, why you're good at things, what you are awesome at, what you love about yourself. You have to write about this every day if you're ever going to unwind the story of not good enough. And I would suggest for all of you struggling with not good enough, do not spend a lot of time. Like, you get one or two shots at writing down, like, here's what I want to know. I want to know the thoughts I tell myself that create belief in me that I am not good enough. Because this thinking is what's creating my belief right now that I'm not good enough. This step's important because what this step does is it helps you understand that feeling not good enough is a mental construct. It is a thought process. It's not truth. It's the way that I interpret the world, and it's the way I interpret myself, and it's how I talk to myself about it. That also means that if we want to believe something else, because right now I'm just believing that I'm not good enough. So if I want to believe something different, I need new mental constructs. I need new ways to talk to myself. I need new evidence for something new that I want to believe. So do it once or twice on the not good enough side. Then you're done. Here's the thing with everybody who's not good enough. You don't need to keep rewriting why you aren't. When you do that, you just keep, like, people say, it's what I'm working on. I need to go do more work. Like, I'm going to go journal more about why I'm not good enough. Stop doing it. At a certain point, it doesn't fucking matter anymore. Just know. You want to know, like, the obvious offenders as to why you think you're not good enough, because that gives you the launch pad to start making lists that refute that, where you're going to go to bat for yourself, where you're going to talk about why this might not be true, what I could be thinking instead, the new evidence that I'm going to be collecting for this new story that I'm going to tell about myself. Once you have a few of the basics and you've created awareness around some of those thinkings and you're doing this other writing, then you just know what to listen for. So that when it pops up on your radar during the day, when it like hits you, when something unexpected happens, let's say you make a mistake or you fail at something and your not good enough stuff comes flying in, sometimes success will happen and not good enough will come in because we have a hard time accepting success. It's running head straight. One of the things that happens with when you're feeling like you're not good enough is that you've got two angles that get hit. Number one, when success happens, it's running into your belief system. And so you'll feel gross about the success. You'll worry you can't keep it up. You'll create all the reasons and the thoughts around why you're not good enough to keep going. So you won't enjoy the success. The other part is then when something happens and we make a mistake, we have an immediate bank of well-practiced thoughts. We're like, see, let's just chalk that on the pile of all the other things I'm collecting over here for you to prove that you aren't good enough. So you want to make sure that a couple of times you identify, like, it's like, I'm not good enough because I keep thinking these things, or I'm not good enough because it feels believable, like I'm not this. So just look for, I'm not good enough because, and you write those things down. And just like we always talk about in our 4-step old shitty process, we do not beat ourselves up for that. You do not judge yourself. You do not say you're crazy. You do not feel shame over all of that. It's literally just a mental construct developed over time from beliefs, thoughts, sentences, and opinions handed to you throughout your entire life, from family, from peers, teachers, social media, the media, whatever it is. So there's no sense in being ashamed or beating yourself up over it. But the next part, to where you're going to develop the worthy story, to develop the story of being good enough, is spend time journaling on arguing for a new truth, for telling yourself a new story, for finding reasons. You know, for a lot of you, you need to ladder into it. If you really have some self-worth issues, you start with the smallest things that are like, okay, this is okay about me. You get yourself out of the self-loathing and you come up to a more neutral state. Like, these are the things that are good. These are the things that are okay. These are the things that, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just glad. I'm glad I'm this kind of person. You start spotlighting some of the right things. Then over time, you get better and better and better at it. But you write about that stuff every day. If you really want to change the story of I'm good, not good enough, you have to retell a new story for a while on paper. The more you write about that, the better it will feel in the long run. In the very beginning, I wish I had my, I taught this at camp, the four stages of, let me see if I have that. There's like these four stages of belief that we go through. Let's see. Hang on one second. I hate to do such a dramatic pause, but if I can find this real quick, I can talk you through it. Phases of equal airtime. Yeah. So what happens is that what we're doing is we are taking the I'm not good enough story, and then we're given equal airtime to a new story that could be true. It is the concept that we teach inside the membership called equal airtime. You've heard me talk about it a lot. If you go and search the videos for equal airtime, you'll probably hear me talking about it other times. If you went to camp, I explained this concept during camp. But equal airtime is just where you're going to tell that other story. The only way for you to shift your mindset about you is for you to do the work on convincing yourself of new truths. So phase one is what's called the awareness phase, where, you know, you are going to write down the things that you believe that aren't good enough about you. And you're going to sometimes catch those thoughts when they're in action, and sometimes you're not. But when you're in the awareness phase, you'll just notice that you're catching thoughts. Some of them fly off the radar. Some of them don't. Sometimes, like about 75% of the time, you will still feel bad at the effect of your thoughts and stuff. But about 25% of the time, some of those things that you've been telling yourself, it's like you start having the buddings of being able to tell yourself, yeah, but we could think this, or let's just remember we're working on being good enough. Like, a lot of you don't have to do completely new thought shifts. A lot of times you can remind yourself when you catch old shitties like that, it's like, yeah, but I'm working on believing I'm good enough. The next phase is called the work phase. And this is where all the old, shitty, not good enough thoughts, they become really loud and clear. Like, you're hearing a lot of them. You're redirecting your brain a lot to the new story. You definitely are journaling every single day on your new story like a boss. But in this phase, in the work phase, a lot of thinking is happening here, a lot of purposeful redirection. Sometimes it can feel like you're living with two versions of you. And that's exactly what should be happening. You're living with the version you've always believed, and you're living with the version you're creating. And they're going to share an apartment for a while. Like, we're talking about a year's lease. They've signed it, and they're roomies, and they're going to have to learn to get along because one's a slob and one ain't. But they're going to figure it out. So during this part, you need a lot of patience. You cannot get frustrated that it's not happening fast enough. You cannot get frustrated that the thoughts keep coming back. You cannot sit there and wish that this part was over or that it shouldn't be here. When you do those things, you're putting resistance to the process in, and the resistance to, like, I wish this was over, this shouldn't be happening, blah, blah, blah. The resistance is what feels like shit. The resistance is the part that makes it very exhausting and wears you out by the end of the day. If all you are doing is sitting around all day long, hearing an old shitty and saying, but we're also working on this, there is a sense of calm that happens. You may be tired at the end of the day, but it won't be tired because you're pushing against the process. You'll just be tired because you spent the day thinking on purpose. But you'll also go to bed tired, feeling good because all day long you thought on purpose about who you wanted to be, rather than feeling terrible about who you are. The next phase is called the momentum phase. So this is where you'll notice as you're working on not good enough. So you're writing every day about why you are good enough. You have like a list of easy go-to thought switches, which is just like old shitty comes in. It's like, but I'm working on believing something different, but I know I'm good enough because every morning I write about why I'm good enough. Right now, it's not easy to access those thoughts. Like there's a lot of different ways that you can get out of the effect of an old shitty thought. But when momentum happens, old shitty is loud and clear, but it's coming less often. You notice that some of the new thinking starts populating as a first thought. It might be, I'm good enough thought comes up first and an old shitty tries to sneak in at the end. And that's okay. What we really want to do is we just want to start getting it to where you start noticing some of the new thinking is easier to access. In this phase, you got to be determined to keep going. You still cannot sit there and think that old thinking is a problem because it's not. And there's zero room for thinking I should know better. If you will shut down I should know better, you'll move to phase four, which is called the future you phase. That's where fundamentally you feel the shift, where you do feel good enough. You start noticing when you do things right way more often. You're willing to spotlight yourself to yourself. You still have not good enough thoughts, but they don't feel believable anymore. You just notice that you're still having those thoughts, but you're not attached to them. That's what's happened for me. So I had a huge story of not being good enough for years. And I worked on this for the last probably 18 months to 2 years. And it wasn't that long ago where I was, something big had happened in my life, was very upset about it. And I was very scared. And when I was talking to my coach, I said something about, because I just ultimately believe this means I'm not good enough, that I'm never going to be good enough. And she said, hey, could you just stop for a second and drop into your body? And I said, okay. So when dropping into your body means is that you're going to pay attention to the physical responses that you're having. And she said, I want you to think about and close your eyes. I'm not good enough. How is that feeling in your body right now? And what I noticed was that it didn't feel true. It almost felt like my body was fighting the thought, like, no. And it was because I had so much evidence built up for myself with the way that I had been writing about myself that I told her, I said, it's so funny you had me do this. She said, because I think I just think that sometimes, but like, I know now that I am. And she said, well, that's exactly where you should be. We just want to know when our brain throws up a shit wad and is like, that's just wrong. And I talked to her about how, she said, if I asked you to tell me all the reasons why you're not good enough, is it easy? Because I will tell you, 18 months ago, I could rattle off 50 reasons with no effort. And I said, no, it wouldn't be easy. I said, because like every time I try to come up with something, my brain is like, yeah, but, and it would go to the good stuff. That's shifting a belief system. But I promise you, the only thing that I did was I identified the areas where I didn't feel like I was good enough. And that was usually areas that I was afraid in. And then I went to doing a lot of work on writing about why I was good enough. What was the evidence that I could see? What are the little things I can believe right now? And I did it every single day without fail. I wrote about my goals. I wrote about why I was qualified for it. I wrote about everything that made me a good mother. I wrote every single thing that I could.
every single day to the littlest things. I can't tell you how many times I wrote about being an amazing cat mother because we spoil our cats. I went with everything that I could hang on to that proved something right about me. And eventually what happens is when you write that stuff down enough, guys, your brain does start to believe it. Things that your brain writes down and you think about and you offer up the new perspective, your brain's job is to try to start believing things, especially things it sees over and over and over again. Well, if every time you journal, all you do is journal about the shit show of your life and how terrible you are reaffirming all of it. I think there's power in uncovering it, but I want you to use your journal to uncover things that you think so that you can go to work on changing the story. I don't want you just writing every single day about what's wrong. For a lot of you, you're caught in these negative loop cycles. Start writing about what is right. For some of you, you need to do that first every day. Then you can address one thing. That's how we start getting to feeling better. Okay. It was a long answer to that question, y'all. Just saying. I struggle with the 24-hour plan. It feels like restrictive dieting to me, and I resist it. So the 24-hour plan is just something you make, and then you have thoughts about it. And whatever you're thinking about that is what makes it feel restricting. So I just want to make sure everybody understands that restriction isn't a thing. Restriction is what we feel about something. Some things, and this is the other thing, some things when we feel restriction, we actually have a really good relationship with it. Other things when we feel restriction, we have a really bad relationship with it. So you have to kind of identify that. Like in my marriage, I restrict myself to boning one person. I don't really sit around and think about how unfair it is that I can't just go out and do the good-looking neighbor. I don't sit around going like, oh, it's so terrible. Like, I just feel like I'm on a diet. I'm on this one man for the rest of my life. Like, I don't think about it like that. There are lots of places in life that we restrict ourselves and we have a very healthy relationship with it. You know why? Because we have really good reasons for it. And we focus on why. It's like, I love Chris. I love our marriage. It's something we agreed to. Like, I have like lush thoughts about being totally restricted in my marriage to one person. I restrict myself with my money all the time. I really like having money in the bank. I like having a savings account. I like all that kind of stuff. I restrict myself from buying just any old thing that pops across my social media. I don't ever sit there and go like, oh, I never get anything I want. It's so hard. I don't think about it like that. Now, when you write your 24-hour plan, if you're feeling restricted and it feels skeezball, it's probably because you're having thoughts about that plan like, I don't get anything I want. I have to do this. It's unfair. I don't like just doing this. The 24-hour plan is there to give you the gift of not having to overthink food all the time. It's there to give you the gift of not having to overthink your weight all the time. You know, if you want to be unrestricted with all your food and just eat whatever you want, you have to say like, and I pay the price. I restrict myself from the goals I set for me. So the first thing to do is to just be really honest. Are you actually restricted or are you just allowing some shitty titty baby thoughts about the 24-hour plan create that resistance and that restriction in you that feels terrible? That's what we want to pay attention to. Because it's like, I get as realistic as I can. But I often try not to eat what is on it because it's my rebellion. It's not your rebellion. It's your mismanaged mind. You're rebelling because you have a thought that I don't want this, rather than trying to figure out, how do I fall in love with the idea of the 24-hour plan being the best thing for me? How do I fall in love with the idea that allowing myself a plan each day is the best thing for me? And here's why. When I just eat what I want, because here's the thing, I want you guys to start thinking, everything you put on your plan, you do want. Now, like this morning, Hulk green smoothie was on my thing. I did not sit there and tell myself, because you know what I would like to have this morning? An omelet and all the things. But guess what? In order for me to get up, do my morning routine, work out, and then be on here and do, I don't even get a break until 1 o'clock today. In order for me to eat something and not have to wait till one, guess what? A spinach smoothie is the fastest, easiest thing. Guess what? Is it like the tastiest thing ever? It doesn't taste like shit, I will say that, but it is what I want for today. Because I think about it as it serves this purpose. It does this for me. Like I'm thinking about it in terms of what all it's going to do for me. You guys are doing a lot of times your plans and you're thinking about what all, like I have to do this and what all I'm not going to be able to do because of it. That is a choice in how you think. And for all of you that like want to have this rebel brain mentality, I'm going to ask you, number one, is it even helpful to keep feeding a narrative that you have a rebellion streak, that you have a rebel brain? Like, that is a thought construct. That is not a fact. A lot of you keep self-identifying. Guess what? Your brain is going to look for ways to prove your rebellion streak true. So be really careful about how much that you identify. I do identify as a rebel. Here's how I think about it. I make a 24-hour plan every day because I'm rebelling against the diet industry that says I don't get to choose what I eat. Like if you're going to at least identify as it, start fucking identifying in a way that's helpful and useful. Quit saying the reason why I keep eating is because I'm a rebel and I can't follow plans. Thought. Thought that sucks. Not helpful. Anything that you keep identifying as and you keep thinking, check yourself before you wreck yourself. I will say it 1,000 times. Just because you think some bullshit, don't make it true. It may feel true, but it's only because you refuse to think outside the box. So for all you rebels out there who are struggling, adopt my rebel mentality. I challenge all of you. Somebody start a rebel post. And let me just tell you, Queenie gonna fly in there like a witch. If you guys start using it as a kumbaya shit show pity party, that is not what I'm talking about. I want to see a rebel thread where you guys can redefine what a rebel who loses weight looks like. Here's how a real rebel approaches the 24-hour plan. Here's how a real rebel gets things done. Use your rebel mentality to create a revolution in how you think, not to devolve yourself into what the diet industry's always taught you. I get that we can choose what to think and feel, but there's something major I'm missing. I love this question, by the way. I don't understand why it would be helpful or desirable to think something that's not actually true just to make ourselves feel better. Can you please help with this? Number one, what the fuck is wrong with thinking something new and just to feel better? That's like saying, I don't want to think something just to feel better. Why not? I call that a major benefit of thinking something new. A huge benefit. The other thing about it, so number one, let's just all agree that if the benefit to thinking something better is to be happier or to feel better, that's pretty good. But the other part about when we are going to think something different, and this is the thing, how do you know it's not actually true? This is the problem. You guys still believe that what you think about something, a fact, that what you think is the truth. Please, please, please remember, just because it feels true doesn't make it true. It just means the thought you've chosen to go all in on. Like the pandemic is a good example. A lot of you think the truth of the pandemic is that it's horrible. It made me gain weight. Whereas there are some people who've been going through the pandemic, you know what their thought is? It helped me wake the fuck up. That's how we know. Now, if you want to believe the pandemic's horrible, that's fine. You don't have to change your thought. But if you're using that like it's horrible because, and every single day you're dwelling on it and feeling terrible and blah, 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 it's not helpful to keep thinking it just because it feels true. You could be thinking, it's the pandemic. It's time for me to figure some shit out. You don't have to think it's horrible. Like a lot of us think it's very necessary to keep shitty, terrible thoughts. And it's like, you don't have to believe something unicornish, but you don't have to believe something that drags you down every single day and gets you nowhere in your goals. There is a lot of wiggle room there. Find the wiggle room. But the other benefit to why would I think something new before I even believe it? It is to show your brain that there is another story. When you start, like, this is what I want all of you to think. When you're practicing new thinking or when you're challenging yourself to be like, all right, here's what feels true. I know I could be thinking this, but it doesn't feel true. It trains your brain to be like, oh, all of this is just my thinking. I may not be ready to believe this one now, but that doesn't mean I have to keep believing this one. That is the benefit of thinking something new. That is why we want to challenge our mind to create new stories for ourselves around the things in our life, especially if the stories that we're telling are just slowing us down to getting what we want for ourselves, wanting us to be able to feel the way we want to feel, to create the relationships we want to be able to create, to have the relationship with food, our body, the scale, all of it. That is the benefit. See, and then this is a really good one. So someone said, I lost 3 family members last year. That is hard. Thankful for this program, so I'm not sitting around eating over it all. Old me would have used all the excuses. This is a really good example. For some of you, it's like, oh yeah, that's hard. And you would just stop there. Rather than, it's hard and I'm thankful for. It's hard, but I'm still here figuring it out. That's why we change thoughts. That's why we look at things from a new perspective. That's why we wiggle beliefs around. Because what it does is it allows you to know there's more to it than what I think right now. How do I get back on track? I'm off track, and how do I get back on track? So that's what we're going to talk about in our class on Saturday. It's going to be about getting on track, but I will give you the short of it, and it's what I said in the beginning. The easiest way to get on track is to get a piece of paper and a pen out and write down what you're going to eat for the day. And know that you're going to want to think that's good enough. And know that you're going to think, oh, it's probably, you know, this is like, I'm going to write down my shoulds, whatever. I don't care what you do. Getting on track is a simple thing of like, take action. But I think what a lot of you do when you think, I would need to get back on track, you think about where you were when you were firing at all cylinders. And it's like, so how do I get back to that? Because I don't want to go through the part where I have to override not feeling good enough, and I have to override my shame, and I have to like override my excuses. And that first little part where it's going to feel hard, there's no get out of jail free card on this one. You are going to have to override your bullshit. Right now, you're believing it. Right now, you're thinking that if I just write down a plan today and get back into the groove of making a plan, that that's not good enough. If I just start with water and sleep this week, if I just get all my water in this week and I give myself plenty of rest, I'm going to use this week to refresh and to really focus on who I want to be next week and to be thinking about what I'm ready for and stuff. And then next week, I'm going to layer in something and I'll know what that is at the end of this week. Like a lot of you don't want to do that. And you don't want to do that because you're like full of your shame, full of your bullshit. Stop it. Shame and bullshit ain't going to get you anywhere. Taking some action and just telling yourself, I get it. I'm disappointed. I'm whatever. But that's not going to stop me. Not this time. And no, there is no perfect place to start to get back on track. For some of you, it just really depends on how much shame and self-loathing you have around it. If it was me, I would start with water and sleep. My goals for the first week would be like, I will get every ounce of water in. I will get every bit of my 7 hours of sleep. I will, and I would probably get into the habit of like thinking about what I want for myself next week more than I'm thinking about what a shit show I am, what I've not been doing. And then that entire week, you focus on every time I want to think what I'm doing is not good enough, every time I want to think that I failed, every time I want to think that this, you know, like I should be wherever I am. I need to remind myself, this week, I'm tackling water and sleep and figuring out what my future self next week is going to be doing. And you keep you train your brain to go to the future self every single time that you want to self-loathe. That's how I would start. Hey, somebody asked about where I got this top. It's a store called, I don't even remember the name of it. It was a little store in Destin, Florida, somewhere. But I think it's an UGG sweater. So anybody can probably go to the UGG website to get it. Let me just tell you, I love it. It's very flowy. I wish it was a little tighter, but oh well. But it's soft as fuck and it is hot as a mother. So if you live somewhere where it is cold, this will do the trick. Let's see. I'm finding a difficult redirect the old shitty thought or lighter thought to, I want more right now. I know it is so simplistic, but I can't seem to combat the thought of I want more. I would just tell myself in the moment when I think I want more, I want more right now, I would just ask myself, if it's not going to be food, what do I want more of? That's what, when we are overeating, guys, you're always wanting to keep eating because of a feeling that it's going to create for you. So a lot of times when you want more, it's like, well, I want more because if I keep eating at the end, I'll feel very satisfied. That means that you aren't giving yourself any satisfaction thoughts about stopping now. You're really focused on just wanting more and not thinking about how satisfied you actually are. And like, you may not even, but just tell yourself, here are the ways that I know I'm satisfied. I may want to keep eating because I want this other stuff, but I also know you start training yourself to find that satisfaction. For some people, you want to keep eating because like if I kept eating, then I would get to relax more. Because a lot of us are using food to take a break and to relax and to chill out before we get restarted again. And if you know that's the case, then you tell yourself, I want more right now because I'm not allowing myself the gift of relaxation. I'm thinking I have to eat to get it. And a lot of times it's because like the very first, when you first start taking a real break without food, your brain sits around and thinks all about what you should be doing. And it's during those first weeks when you're doing that, you have to do your mental work. That's where journaling in the morning around, like if you're doing a lot of relaxing eating, you need to be writing more about what are my thoughts about like me being worthy enough to relax? What are my thoughts about when I'm relaxing? What do I think's not happening? What do I think, like, what are just all the things that you think? For me, I had a lot of guilt around relaxing for a long time. That's why I ate through it. Even after I'd lost my weight, for a long time, I would take a break from work and eat, even if it was healthy crap. So that I would, like, it was like my body needed a break, my mind needed a break, but I felt so guilty. And if I ate, then I didn't have to, like, if I was eating, it covered up the guilty thoughts for taking a break. And then when I would be done, it'd be easy to go back to work because I had gotten a break. Well, all I was really needing was to take a pause and then cut myself a break for needing one. But I had to teach myself that over time inside my journal. Okay, that's it for the day, y'all. I hope y'all have a good one. My sweater is a medium, but I really should have took a small in this one. And guys, I'm going to tell you, most of the time I wear mediums. Sometimes I wear a large. It depends on the cut of the stuff. I ordered this jacket. It came in yesterday. I've been waiting on this jacket forever. I wanted to wear it on stage at camp and stuff. And I literally was going to call the company and be like, I think it's lost. I think like that's how long it took. This jacket came in and I ordered the large because it looked like one of them young kids websites. Oh my gosh. I put it on and I told Chris, I said, this must be made for like a 13-year-old boy. I mean, it was a large. And I mean, it was like the Incredible Hulk was putting on a shirt. And I was like this. And I said, I would need like a 2XL in this thing. Like my shoulders and my arms, like could not even stand it. So I'm sending it back. It's really sad though, because it's a beautiful jacket. I saw it on a TV show and order, like dug through Google until I finally found this thing, finally find it. And then like, this is just not going to work. So we're sending it back today. But anyway, one of the things though about that story that's so funny is that I have worked so hard on like my body and like how I think about it. I literally now, when clothes don't look good on me, I think clothes don't look good on me. I never think I'm like, well, I wouldn't say I never think. 90% of the time, I really do not think I'm too big or I should lose more weight or whatever. Like that has been a recent shift, y'all, because I've been, you know, this last year or so, I've been really working on truly loving my body, you know, and it was getting harder the older I was getting. And, you know, more loose skin and whatnot. Loving my body was getting harder because all my old shit that I never really addressed, I was just getting more and more things about my body to have to think about. They were just populating all the time. It's like, you know, when your skin is starting to crepe because you're getting older and stuff like that. It was like, I didn't even realize how much like body image work I still had to do until I was getting triggered all the time. And now, like, I literally do believe, like, I really do believe that when clothes don't fit, I do not sit there and think, well, I must be getting bigger or this is, you know, whatever. I think, no, it's the clothes. There's not all clothes are going to look good on this body, and that's okay. So there you go. All right. This is called the Sage Sweater from UGG. Y'all are really talking about my sweater. I also have another one from them. It's a black kind of fuzzy, hairy one. It's a winner too, y'all. So, and my niece actually picked both of them out. So I'll close on this. When we did our Thanksgiving trip, my niece and I went shopping together and I love my niece. I didn't have a girl. I love to shower my baby girl with all kinds of things because, you know, Logan never wants anything. And so, we were shopping and, I said, all right, I'm going to get a couple things and I want you to get a couple of things. And, you know, this is on me. It's your Christmas present. And so we were in a shop and she picked this sweater out and she picked the black one that I wear sometimes out for me. And so she was like, you have to get an UGG sweater, sis. She was like, they're so comfortable. I love wearing them. All my friends wear them. And like, she's in college. She's a freshman in college. She was like, okay, I will get what all the freshmen in college are wearing. So anyway, all right, guys, y'all have a good one. I will see you on Saturday for our workshop, 10 a.m., what to do if you've regained weight. Have a good one. Bye, y'all.